It's 8:24 p.m. Chicago time. It's Monday, the 28th of January. And that's the producer's Turbozul. I've always been a big fan of Kobe Bryant. I mean, he's the guy who inspired me to play basketball when I was a kid in 2004. I remember playing NBA Live and playing with the Lakers, seeing this guy with number 8 hitting all the threes in a video game. And ever since then, I kind of fell in love with this man. And I've always been a fan. Anytime I think of basketball, it's just Kobe Bryant. Number 8, number 24, it doesn't really matter. Ever since, I can see myself watching the Lakers game with my friends, arguing about how Kobe is the greatest player of all time. And he will always be my favorite player of all time. No doubt about it. And he will always be the greatest player I've ever seen. I remember watching him, his 81 points. I remember watching him score 60 points against the Mavs in only 3 quarters. I remember him hitting a spin-away, fade-away 3 while being double-teamed as the time clock runs out in 2006. And I was just amazed. I just couldn't understand how any human being was able to do such things on the basketball court. To be quite honest, it was beautiful. And honestly, he inspired me. I go out, practice the post spin fadeaway over your left shoulder, right shoulder, just because of Kobe. I have practiced my triple threat moves, jab steps to your left, going right. I just remember all these things about Kobe, like the footwork. Just mastering all these things. It was all because of Kobe Bryant. And it's really sad to see that, you know, hear that he's gone. And like I said, he will always be my favorite player, also the greatest player I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's just a sad day to be a basketball fan, to be honest. And we're sitting here watching his last game where he scored 60 points. And just watching that, it's incredibly sad at the same time. I just feel so damn privileged and thankful to even like see this legend. And his legend may just live on for centuries, for years, because he truly was a phenomenal basketball player, phenomenal father. And I really feel bad for the rest of the people who was on the board who died along with Kobe Bryant. And his daughter Gigi, 13-year-olds. That's too young. And it's sad. But you know, this is the Kobe Bryant episode, and we want to talk about our favorite memories of him, and just think about his accomplishment, and just put it on wax for everyone to listen. And this is Turbozul, the producer of DDP, and we got Dean.
What up?
We got Turbold.
How's it going, guys?
And we got Patrick.
Hello.
Thank you for the introduction. I don't think there was anyone else that we would have liked to have introduced. You know, the man, the myth, the legend, Kobe Bryant. We heard the news yesterday. January 26th, 2020, I want to say sometime in the afternoon, that Kobe Bryant at the age of 41 has passed away due to a helicopter crash, along with his daughter Gianna Bryant and along with other acquaintances, I think 7 other acquaintances. I don't know. This is when I heard the news myself, I just couldn't believe it. And I think, you know, even a whole 24, nearly 36 hours after hearing the news, it's still very fresh in my head, still very hard to believe, can't fathom it. And I look at, you know, I look at reports and I just wish that this is all just a dream, like everyone is hoping. and that this is just some, you know, fake news. just because of the amount of influence that he's had on people in basketball, in the world, internationally, in the U.S., everywhere, worldwide. And we're here, like our producer said, to talk about our favorite moments, because we're not going to dwell on the loss of a myth, a legend, an icon, and Kobe Bryant, but we are going to celebrate his 41 years of presence on this earth. 18 years in the NBA. 20 years in the NBA, excuse me. And just, you know, we're here to celebrate, though. We're here to celebrate. We're here with, you know, our co-hosts and Dean and Pat and our producer and Turbot to, like I said, to celebrate this life, what he has accomplished, everything that he has done for the world, the NBA, in basketball, and for us especially. And we want to give our condolences to the family of the Bryants and everyone else that was on board on the helicopter. But, yeah, fellas, let's get started. This is a tough episode. This is earlier than what we would release. We had to, quote-unquote, an emergency podcast for this. Just, you know, go ahead and talk about how we feel and how we have digested this. How you guys feeling, man?
I've had better days.
100%.
It's a tough one. Tough one to swallow. When I was driving and then my uncle called me. He's like, "Did you hear what happened?" I go, Kobe. They said Kobe died. I'm like, "What? Kobe Bryant?" And I'm like, "No, it's got to be fake. It's not real." And then just kept seeing on the reports and everything like that saying that he passed. I'm like, "Wow." I didn't know how to take it. He inspired a whole generation, I would say. I heard something earlier today that he was the void that filled the NBA when Michael Jordan retired. I would say definitely. But there's never going to be another one like Kobe. It's tragic. I mean, I really think it's a tragedy for the country. I don't just think it is for the sports world. I think it's a tragedy for the country. I mean, he inspired so many people to do better, to be better. Yeah. I know everybody has their ups and downs in life, and he did too, but he overcame them, definitely. He turned his image around and became a good person, good father, good man. It's just sad to see that he's gone.
It's tough. Pat?
I don't know how to follow that. That's very well said, all you guys. I guess just kind of to piggyback off that, like Dean was saying, I mean, everybody, even if you're a sports fan or not, like everybody knows Kobe. Everyone knows how he went about his business, how he took care of his family, all that kind of stuff. And I think that's like the toughest part was, I mean, everyone was just, that like video of him with his daughter on the sideline of the NBA game was going viral. Like everyone making memes about it, everyone like making jokes. Not that there are bad jokes, but like, and then that's like who happens to be on the helicopter with him. It's kind of crazy. Like, just, I don't know, to think about how, like, everything comes so quick, you never know what's going to happen in life. I don't know. That's the biggest thing for me. And then another thing is, I was going to say, I'm good. Just, I don't know, just the way he went about his business. I mean, obviously, everyone has their faults, but he was basketball wasn't the only thing for him, I guess I would say.
And, you know, as we capitalize on what he has done in his life, in his career, it is important to say that, you know, as we were watching the game where he cuts, you know, the first chapter of his life, which is an NBA player, as we were watching that, it just kind of reminds us what was ahead of Kobe, what was ahead, you know, as a lot of individuals in the sports world have mentioned, that Kobe was going to tackle his second phase of his life, which was, you know, post-NBA in retirement. He was going to go about it just as if it was a basketball game. He was going to fucking give it 200% over anyone else that's below him, because that's what Kobe was. He put in the time, effort, work. And the craziest part was that, in a way, he kind of mapped out what he was going to do in his 20-year career in the NBA when he first came into the league. That's, like, sort of the stories that I heard when I was listening to, you know, podcasts and stories on Kobe, you know, all day today. That's 95% of the things that I heard. It was like, Kobe, he put the time in. Because he put the time in, he knew exactly where he wanted to be and where all this hard work would take him. And there's no player that, you know, we see out there right now with the same audacity, same energy, same work ethic, same fire, same hate, but at the same time, same amount of love that he had for the game and for the people around him. And it really does suck to hear, you know, one of our icons and legends that all of us literally grew up watching, because he came into the league when, you know, myself and all of my friends around me were pretty much born. And then we were able to watch him throughout his whole career and pretty much 100% of our lifetimes. You know, that's crazy. And that just kind of puts it into perspective of how much of an influence he had on us as individuals, but as also as, you know, basketball players and basketball fans. He just did a lot for us. He did a lot. Is Definitely. That right, guys?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this man is an icon, legend. He's going to be remembered throughout the human history for centuries to come. I mean, it's incredibly sad, to be honest. And just watching him play for his last game, as we're speaking about Kobe, it's on ESPN right now. It's really sad. It really is. Because, like, you can't believe it. You really can't. This morning I woke up, and I still can't believe it when it says, like, 1978 to 2020, Kobe Bryant. I see that, and I'm like, it can't be real. It's one of those things, like, I honestly feel like I've lost a family member. I know it's always been a one-way relationship. He knows nothing about me. Probably never even... he literally does nothing about me, but the fact that he was able to influence my life, you know, was tremendous. And I will always be thankful the fact that I was a Laker fan, a Kobe Bryant fan, just watching him play. Like I said, I've practiced the moves. I'm not as gifted, athletic as Kobe Bryant, but I still practiced them because I looked up to him like some kind of a hero you see in, like, a Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I just remember watching his beautiful fadeaway, his impeccable footwork. Just watching that, it brings just such joy to my life, because I'm a big basketball fan. I've always loved basketball. It's one of the things that defines me as a human being. And... you know, just watching Kobe play really defined my life. Wanted to be like Kobe for a little while when I was a young kid. I call myself the Yellow Mamba. I mean, I'm nowhere close to it, but I mean, this guy was just like everything to me. Like, I looked up to him. This is, it's just incredibly sad. It really is. And I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one who did, you know, looked up to Kobe like I did. I know we got millions of people around the world. I know what he was able to do for the game. It's phenomenal. And the saddest part about that is that, you know, he just retired. He was happy with everything. He was trying to continue on his life as a father, his second act as a father. And to die that young with his 13-year-old daughter, it's so devastating. It really is. And but enough with the sad.
Yes, enough with dwelling from us. Let's. Yeah.
I would like to talk about our favorite memories of Kobe Bryant. And
yeah,
one thing, you know, let's talk about that. So, who wants to start off? I'll go last.
I'll start.
All right, start. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my favorite moment of Kobe is all right, let me actually go back a little bit. So I started first, you know, getting into basketball 2004. It was like one of the only sports that I previously used to play soccer and basketball. I came to the US and basketball was the thing here. So I picked it up. I was a big fan of Shaq, and at that time he was with the Lakers. And at that time, there was a little bit of feud going on between, you know, Kobe and Shaq that, you know, everyone knows about and or can tune into. And Shaq had left the following season, I believe, and he had went to the Miami Heat. So naturally, I was like, you know, hey, Shaq's in the Heat, so I'm going to be a Heat fan. And then there was also a young blossoming star in Dwayne Wade, so I was like, damn, dude, this guy's another beast, man. So I started really following with the Heat, and the reason why this memory I'm about to, you know, tell you guys why it's my favorite moment was, unfortunately, it was against my favorite team in Miami Heat, and my favorite player now in D Wade. It was right on his face. I think it was sometime in 2009. I want to say December. It was a December game in 2009. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I was reading about it a little earlier. It was a very close game. Lakers, you know, they had to come down to the crunch time and had to start fouling all the players and, you know, kind of play the free throw game. And the last free throw that they fouled down was Dwayne Wade. He split the free throw, and which gave the Heat a 2-point lead that, you know, Kobe could go ahead and beat. And at that moment, you know, no one knows what's going to go on, but everyone knew. You don't give Kobe a chance to win a freaking game, man, let alone tie a game or win a game, whatever. But with like 3 seconds left, the Lakers were able to get the ball, inbound it in. You know, who else do you give it to other than Kobe? We just give it to Kobe, and the man just does his work. He got the ball in the inbound, dribbled to his left, and I don't think Dwayne Wade was like freaking a glue on him, dude. That was the best freaking defense a player could have played, but that was a perfect, it was like the epitome of good defense, but better offense. D-Wade was on him, and LeBron just let it fly. This man let it fly.
LeBron. Kobe?
Kobe, I'm sorry.
You're good.
Yeah, Kobe let it fly off the backboard and beat the Heat. It's got to be my favorite moment just because it was against my, you know, favorite team in Dwayne Wade. And there was such a duel, and because the, like, Dwayne Wade was entering his prime, or was in his prime, excuse me. And to be playing against a legend like Kobe and really trade baskets, it was like one for the ages. It's like classic NBA, you know. They'll show within 15, 20 years on NBA classics, you know. How about you guys, though?
Just piggybacking on what our producer said, how he was such an impact around the world that everybody kind of forgets that he grew up in Italy and his dad played basketball overseas in Italy. Mm-hmm. And how he knew fluent Spanish and fluent Italian. So he was a global ambassador for the game of basketball. And that, like, how he was at peace with retirement now. People never thought Kobe would have been at peace because how much of a competitor he was. But, yeah, moving on to my favorite memories, definitely, I'll give you my two, I should say. It was definitely watching the 81 points he scored against the Toronto Raptors was just insane. I remember just in school watching. I remember I would just, for some reason, I would turn that game on just to kill time, just to watch. Because every time it's like, man, he really scored 81 points over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's like, and you couldn't stop him. And I've been watching basketball now. I am, what year are we in? 2020? So I've been watching basketball for close to like 20 years, I'd say, maybe 15, 20 years. I'd have to say the most three dominant players I've seen is Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and then Kobe Bryant, definitely. Those guys. I remember just like watching the game and being like, you can't. You can maybe stop them once or twice, but you just got to pray that they miss, because mm-hmm. you can't stop them. You're never gonna be able to stop. All you can pray, all you can pray for is that he misses this shot, because you're not gonna be able to stop him. Whatever you do, you could have the best defender on him. That doesn't make a difference. And one of my favorite memories was I was a kid watching, I wasn't really watching the game, but I just had to stop what I was doing because it was the game against Phoenix Suns in the 2006 or 7 playoffs.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah.
6 playoffs. Yeah. I just remember like, all right, there's 10 seconds left. They're down by one. Kobe's got the ball. All right, I got to watch this. I got to stop what I'm doing and watch this. And then I'm happy I stopped what I was doing because I was watching greatness. Him exactly. Hit that buzzer beater. That was amazing. But then, yeah.
Iconic.
Very iconic.
Mm-hmm. Pat, what you got, man? What's your favorite memory of Kobe that you remember and will cherish?
Honestly, like the game we're watching right now might be the moment that I remember Kobe for the most, honestly. Like, there was no specific, like, moment for me, I guess, growing up. Just, I guess what we were saying before with MJ, like, being basically, like, the next MJ in, like, terms of our generation. Like, we didn't really grow up watching MJ, mm-hmm. but Kobe was the closest thing to him. And I guess there wasn't really any specific moment that I kind of remember that well that, like, stuck out to me that much. But just in general, just him knowing, like, he was the best in the league for how many years. And then, like, just seeing his last night in 2016 and him just going off. It's just, like, a perfect, like, culmination of his career, I guess, what I would say.
Truly a cherry on top.
Exactly.
It was, like, because, like, Kobe... As we know him, it's like, you know, we've seen all the memes. It's like, yo, pass the rock. Kobe's nope. like, nah.
No. Because he knew he was the best.
Exactly.
And you got to respect the shit out of that.
And he knew that whatever shot he took, he truly fucking believed that every shot he took was going in.
Yeah.
So therefore, he would literally take every shot that he could because he believed in it. That it would go in no matter if it's, freaking, you know, 11 minutes and 50 seconds left in the first quarter, or if it's 0.5 seconds left in the you know, last half second of the game. Kobe knew what he took, Kobe was going to make. And yeah, that was truly like Kobe. And yeah, just a couple of the things that, you know, he was able to do as a player and just kind of as an individual himself was, you know, kind of in a way pass on that mentality, or he, no one can emulate what he did, obviously, but he can set an example. And I think that's what players nowadays really cherish, because they grew up watching this guy. They wanted to work like him. They wanted to be like him. So they knew they had to put in as much, if not more, work than Kobe, which was nearly
impossible.
Nobody
put in more. Yeah.
Exactly, which was impossible,
nobody.
Dude.
Nobody.
You would rarely find an individual waking up like 3, 4 in the morning. So these are on the stories that I heard, you know, based on the podcast. But you would never hear of many players going out to the gym at like 3, 4 in the morning just to freaking put up some shots. It was like Kobe be doing that, you know? But Kobe, man, let's celebrate. Kobe Bean Bryant. You got to celebrate his life and talk about his other accomplishments. And, you know, I know recently, you know, unfortunately, the day before him passing, LeBron passed him, you know, third time all-time scoring list. Kobe was one of the greatest scorers that we've ever seen. And he can do it his own expense, whatever you want to do, he was more than capable of doing.
As a Kobe Bryant fan, I have so many favorite memories of him just playing basketball, but I definitely want to highlight a few here. One of the things that I really cherished watching when I was a kid is 2008 Olympics against China and against Spain, and this guy literally put the team on his back, along with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, all these future Hall of Famers, guys who's playing right now. He literally put them on the back and won the gold medal for the United States, which hasn't been done since 96. And watching him do that, it was incredible. It was like watching an alpha male, like in a wolf pack, where you have the alpha, and they come out and just kind of dominate things. It was like Kobe doing it, you know. And secondly, 2010, Game 7 Finals. This was by far from his best game he has ever played. The dude shot like 8 for 24 for the whole game. He wasn't shooting so well because they were doubling him the whole time against the Celtics. That was the whole game plan. But, you know, Kobe knew it. There's like 2 minutes left where Kobe's taking a free throw shot. He gets fouled. He goes up right into like 3 Celtics and gets fouled because it was the best option for him right there. And he's shooting the free throws and he's just absolutely exhausted, tired. But, you know, dude had, at the end of the game, the dude had like 16 boards and like 7 assists. So he was doing everything in his power to have his team win. And that's one of the things, you know, I really appreciated about Kobe. Yes, he's known for one of the greatest scorer of all time, but he was willing to do all the other small things when it really came down to it. And that's what I remember Kobe for, you know? And those, like I said, those great footwork, the up and unders, the pump fakes, pump fake and spin. I mean, oh my God, it's beautiful to watch. It's like Picasso painting his masterpiece. Whenever I saw this guy play on the court, and I'm just like, I got to stop the watch.
It's art.
Exactly. It really, truly was art. And whenever they didn't pass it to Kobe, I'll be standing there and yelling, pass it to Kobe.
Give this man the damn ball, man.
Exactly. Feed him. Feed the beast. But here's just something that was very beautiful to watch. It really was. And lastly, another memory of Kobe I remember is against, I think it was 2005 Christmas game against Shaquille O'Neal and the Miami Heat. This was still when the Kobe Shaq beef was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kobe scored like 37 points in the Miami Heat. And the Miami Heat was a way better team. Overall, they were just a better team. But Kobe put everything out there. And I just remember watching the game as a kid. It was like, wow. Like, someday I'm going to be like him, but, you know.
I hope.
Yeah, I really did hope. I really did hope. And it's incredible. It really is. Rest in peace, legend.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
And also, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about, like, all these different small, like, iconic moments with Kobe, like the no flinching when did Kobe. Yeah.
Matt Barnes.
Yeah, Matt Barnes. Yeah.
Everyone knows that, man.
And as Dean talked about, the first, it was a fourth quarter, a buzzer beater to force the OT. It was an elbow jumper, I remember. And the second one was a floater over, like, two Suns in the 2006 playoffs. Oh, my God. That was amazing. And also seeing him fucking facialize, I mean, just absolutely dunk over Steve Nash. I don't know if you guys remember that. And he hangs on the rim with one arm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah, yes. One dunk against Brooklyn really stood out to me, too.
On Gerald Wallace and
the whole team and Brooke Lopez,
Yep. That's right. And that was him in his freaking mid-30s and just getting up against his young bloods. Mm-hmm. And just teaching them, you know, how Kobe does it.
Yep.
And I just want to go ahead and kind of reiterate, you know, everything that I heard on podcasts, all the stories that I heard, and kind of put that into my self-experience as far as Kobe. It's the outflow of support that the whole family and everyone gets really resembles how much respect Kobe gets from everyone, like literally everyone. The beauty of it is, like, you don't even have to freaking know basketball to know who the hell Kobe was, you know? And people have said all over social media, man. Roll up a ball in class, on those dull moments in class. You're way in the seating chart, way in the back. And one thing that makes it fun was, like, you know, scrunch up a paper ball, and then you shoot it into a garbage bin, and you yell Kobe. So those are the moments that, you know, I really would like to cherish, and, like, it's still hard to believe that he's gone, but we must keep on celebrating his legacy.
Yeah.
You know, through memories, through his family, through people that he has been acquaintances with, through people he has worked with, his teammates, and in and out, and everyone, man. And as we're watching this freaking, you know, his last game here, we know how much game this man had. It was just, like, unheard of. The drive was incredible. This man would never stop working. And that's really what we kind of remember him as. And Kobe Bean Bryant.
Yeah, just a couple more things. Not games in particular, just moments that I had. Remember one time I was watching the Lakers Heat, and LeBron was on the Heat. So it was not just LeBron versus Kobe. It was LeBron, Wade, and Kobe. And I remember just I was watching it, and then my mom wanted me to do something or help her out with something. I'm like, Mom, I can't right now. I'm watching greatness. This doesn't happen that often.
No,
I think it might have been Kobe. It might have been, I forgot what year it was. Might have been one of, I don't know, the last time they might have played each other. I don't know, whatever it was. But I'm like, yeah, this is, both teams were decent. They were both good teams, and it was like a competitive game. So I wanted to watch it. But yeah, and then the other one is in 2009 when they played the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals.
With Melo.
Yeah, then they closed them out in six, and then they went on to beat the Magic in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I was at a friend's house, and then I literally said it. Like, my friend fell asleep in the other room, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to go in the other room and chill and watch ESPN. And they had the game on. They had the rerun of the Lakers-Nuggets game, and it just showed how Kobe, when he wanted to win, he turned it on. He scored. I watched those highlights last night, kind of just to, like, bring it back. He scored 35 points that game, and I think he had 10 assists, so he passed the rock a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, there was one meme that I do remember. It's just like, or not a meme, but this one GIF. And it's just like Kobe, he gets a pass, and then he's like got the ball in his hands, and then he tries to make a pass, but then like slips out of his hands, and then comes back to him, and he just takes a three, and then just nothing but net. It's like something like that epitomized Kobe. It's just like, you know, we just know him as a guy who, you know, he was a guy who was like, shoot your shot. Like, literally, shoot your shot, man. You know, because you know that you have so much confidence in your own shot that, you know, you were 100% that it was going in.
Now it's me, I guess. Yeah, piggyback on that. I don't know, like, I can't think of another, like, cold-blooded killer as much as Kobe just playing the game that we've ever seen. Like, Jordan was one thing, but obviously, like I was saying, I mean, we didn't grow up watching him as much. But Kobe, I mean, he just wanted the ball in his hands, and he didn't trust anybody as much as he trusted himself, which, I mean, that's mostly good. Obviously, you want to trust your teammates, which he did at times, if they were worthy. If they weren't worthy, he's not going to trust them, which I don't blame him. But
and he let them know, too.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I was listening to something today, and there was, I mean, he had some beefs with people, some teammates who he just demanded excellence. And if you weren't going to play that way or practice that way, hold yourself that way, just in all around life, like, he wasn't going to associate with you. So, I mean, I don't know. He just got that killer instinct that most people don't have, which is insane. And even like after his career, he was the same way about like business. Like, if you weren't getting the job done, like, you're not going to be on the team with me. We're not going to be associates. So it's just insane. Not many people like that.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I heard one thing. I mean, it's kind of sad. I mean, I was watching the Bulls pregame, and Kendall Gill was talking about how when he was playing with the Nets and how he got there, like, he would get there, like, 3 hours early, but he goes, Kobe would always beat me there, even on the road. It's crazy. Like, you're not even in your home city. Home stadium, let alone you're showing up early. Just kind of person he was. And then the other thing he said was, which I do believe is that Kobe would say, yeah, mourn my death one day, and then go then be you. Yeah. I believe that.
100%. And no, man, just other moments that Kobe gifted us will forever cherish. Have we, any of you guys, seen Kobe play live?
I have not. That's my one regret.
No way.
I'm not sure.
Damn.
I might have.
You might have?
Yeah. I got a bad memory. You guys are thinking of all these moments, 2008 and shit. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I kind of remember that, but not vividly. But
locally,
mean
we
I
have
don't
to refresh on it,
them.
Though. Yeah, 100%.
No, I mean, obviously, but I might have. I might have not. I'm not sure, but.
Damn, man. That's, now think about it now. Like, before, you know, all this happened, I was like, you know, I wish I had watched Kobe, but now I'm just like, damn, I really wish I would have watched.
Now especially, yeah.
Especially because, you know, no, man, I imagine he was just as fiery and fierce as we see him on TV, and I don't know, man, it's not much to say as far as Kobe, and one thing I do want to say is, you know, him as a family man. Him as a family, him as a father, him as a husband, him as a son, what he was able to do, what he was able to display in front of everyone. And Pat, you mentioned, you know, the video that we saw him teaching his daughter, you know, like, you know, just the small things that he sees on the court, he'll mention to his daughter, because his daughter was Gianna, was supposed to be, or was going to be the, you know, the one that held the torch up after Kobe, because he didn't have any sons or anything. So to see that moment was so precious. And at the time, we might have not realized it because, you know, it was a meme. but we see it now, and it's just like, damn, dude. Life does really come at you fast. Slow down, blink first. In other words, slow down and really cherish who you have around us, because you never know when that instance get hit, that you get that phone call or you realize that, you know, that individual is not with you. So this instance, this situation with Kobe Bryant does kind of is a wake up call for everyone, you know, just to kind of take it out of perspective and take it into example is we're talking about last week, we were talking about the beef between Kendrick Perkins and Kevin Durant.
Right.
Yeah.
After the incident with Kobe, Perkins, he actually came out on Twitter, is like, hey, Kevin Durant, I'm sorry for whatever I did. You know, everything he meant, you know, he didn't really mean. And he was just like, he was apologizing to KD because after that moment, he realized how precious life was. And now I myself, I'm taking that into account, you know, into my life and looking around the people around me, my acquaintances, my friends, my family, anyone that I truly care about. Like, I love all of them. And like, you know, for you three to be sitting in front of me now, I've cherished it before, but I cherish it even more now, you know, because life is so precious.
Definitely, yeah. Totally agree with that. I mean, that's a little bit what I thought yesterday when I watched Jay Williams on ESPN. He did that short little
thing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's like, just...
beautiful.
All that other shit in life doesn't matter. I mean... And then I was looking at Twitter. I'll give Twitter some things, and it's got some good and it's got some bad, but... Mm-hmm. Majority of it was good, but there's always that one idiot out there that's like, oh, well, they have a lot of money, so they'll be okay. It's like,
what?
Come on, man.
No.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's like,
how
do you expect, I really don't know how his family, I mean, time cures a lot of things, but I don't know how,
yeah.
I don't know about this. I don't know. It's going to be very hard for the family for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't buy another.
I don't know.
You can't buy another Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, you can't buy another husband or a dad or
to freaking do what Kobe Bryant has done. And like,
right.
Everything we see Kobe do is just like everything we see on that some footage. I don't know.
He just had a daughter a year ago, so that's the one. That's
yeah, that too.
She's never
that's
gonna.
Crazy.
No.
Obviously, she's gonna know who her father was, but
she won't actually remember him.
Yeah.
Or know him.
Yeah, she'll remember his legacy, and obviously you're going to be able to watch.
But that's also another thing that's beautiful to pass down. You know, as much as, you know, we mourn the death of Kobe Bean Bryant, we should look back and be like, you know, there are very little. Nah, actually, never mind. I was going to say there are some positives to it, but not really.
No. I mean,
I'm looking on the bright side, but
the positive, what I say is like what I feel with Kobe. It's like it's kind of true. It's like he's not. I mean, obviously he's passed, but in reality he's passed. But his spirit's never gonna die.
No.
Yeah.
Legacy still stands.
He's a legend, so he's never gonna die.
Yeah.
Never.
That's what they were saying, man. Legends never die.
He's never gonna die. I mean, everybody's. I mean, if you talk about everybody's going to talk about him every single day now, mm-hmm. until eternity. So
exactly.
Well, the rest of the season, especially, is just going to be all about Kobe, and that could be another topic. Is you know, the Lakers might win one for Kobe this year.
I meant to say earlier was that I've never been a big Lakers fan, but I'm going to root for them to win the finals this
right?
year. First
you can't,
time ever.
You can't root against them at this point.
Can't root against them.
That's
man.
Tough.
Tough. I mean, the whole league's gonna root for the
right.
Still, I don't know. Still with the Lakers organization, I don't know how they're gonna move on from this. But hopefully they do, and maybe they can get a championship out of it. That's my only hope. Yeah, we're sitting here watching the game, and
if you would have made that.
The thing I love about this last game is that because Kobe knows he's done. This is his last game, so he's going out. He's chucking up shots. He doesn't care.
And to be honest, I don't blame him. I would do the same thing. Just chuck everything up. What do you got to lose?
I think that's
put it
like
all on the line.
Why it's my favorite Kobe memory is just watching him just go. You know what was going to happen. He's going to shoot every shot he possibly could unless he's getting like double or triple team. Yeah. And it's just like kind of like Kobe, just how he was in a way. He's just going to go at you 100% no matter what the game was. Could be preseason, regular season, obviously postseason. I mean, he's just going to go all out. And he didn't have the same, obviously, level of athleticism at this point, but he's still, he's probably what? He's got to be one of the top three most skilled players of all time.
Well, that's the thing that, yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, obviously he was skilled. He was a great scorer, but then he had to work a lot at that.
100%. I mean, I remember watching this, the last game of Kobe Bryant, and I remember just seeing him shoot those last two free throws to reach 60 points and how he was so fucking gassed. Because he took 50 shots in that game. And that's one thing I really appreciated about him. Because he kind of stayed true to his identity as a gunslinger. And yeah. He went down as a gunslinger. It was phenomenal. And earlier today, I was actually listening to the Bill Simmons podcast. Who's a notorious Celtic fan and Kobe hater. And I always hated him for that. And I think he's a great writer. Media personality. But one thing he kind of brought up was that whenever you saw Kobe playing against your team and they're down 3 points with 2 minutes to go, you feared Kobe because you know Kobe was the guy who's going to elevate his game to the competition and above to win the game for the Lakers, for the purple and gold. And I don't know. Just watching something like that, it really is incredible, you know? Because not a lot of people can or even has the will to do such thing.
Yeah, we never mentioned his nickname for our fans that don't know. It's the Black Mamba.
I think everyone knows, yeah.
I mean people that know, you know? And just following off that, you know, when it comes to the last second shots, man, Kobe was one of the deadliest, one of the most clutch players that we have seen. Whatever shot he took up, it was like, dude, yeah. This could 75% it would go in.
I don't know if you guys ever heard the story about Kobe Bryant in his when he was a rookie. It was a playoff game, in I think 97, and I think they were playing the Jazz. And this was an elimination game for the Lakers. Lakers are about to get eliminated against the Jazz with Stockton and Malone. And I think I heard this from Shaq talking about how this is like when he figured out, yes, this Kobe Bryant guy, this guy's for... Oh!
I didn't...
Yeah, this guy's for real. And it was an 18-year-old Kobe, and they draw up a play, okay? And everyone's looking around. I think they're down by 2 points. And everyone's looking around. It's like, oh, who's going to take the last shot? Who's going to take the last shot? They draw up a play for Kobe Bryant, who's a rookie at this point, 18 years old. He takes the shot, misses terribly, airballs it.
Yeah, I was going to say it was an airball.
Yeah, it was an airball, but he kept his head up. And he was like, you know, I'll be back next year. And I remember Shaq telling a story about it. It's like, dude, this is my guy. This is my guy that's going to help me win championships. And it definitely came into fruition. It's quite amazing. Imagine that, 18-year-old kid. You're the youngest one of all. He's like, hey, I'm going to take the last shot. Fuck it. It doesn't matter. I mean, that takes a lot of balls. It really does. And, I mean... This is me just going off and on and on and on again about Kobe Bryant and me being a huge fan. The one of the things I really appreciate and miss about Kobe Bryant is that his 360 dunks. It was something out of the world, man. Awesome. Not a lot of people do 360 dunks, but man, talk about smooth, like Dean said. Oh, beautiful. And soccer skills.
Look at him with his soccer skills, yeah.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, obviously he doesn't look like an Italian, but he's Italian, man.
He's got that. I don't think he's got Italian blood in him, but he's got the Italian heritage, definitely.
No doubt.
He's got the Italian in him, which I like. Which I said before, he was a great global ambassador to the game of basketball. And just what do we got?
No, we're good.
I mean, just last night I was watching. You were talking about his 360 dunks. I was watching like the top 50 Kobe highlights of his career, and they showed like at least five like just 360 dunks. I'm just like, you forget how athletic he was like when he was younger. I mean, not that he wasn't athletic towards the end of his career, but he wasn't nearly as athletic as he was in the beginning of his career. And with all the injuries he endured too, it's just insane. Just he just kept going, and I don't know. It's just like you look. 8 versus 24, and I feel like 8 was just like pure athleticism, and he's building his skill, but it's more athleticism, more like what you want to call him, like Afro Kobe, just going off on people, just showing people a taste of what he's just gonna get to, and then he gets later in his career and he just goes off on people in a different way, more of like a mind game. I don't know, it's just crazy.
And the other thing I've noticed whenever it, like, when it comes down to his big games, like his the 81 game and then this game and then a couple other ones, he's always at the free throw line.
Yes. First points on the free throw line, last points on the free throw line.
Yeah,
81st point on the free throw line.
I mean, all these players nowadays have built their game around Kobe in a way. Not every single player, but most players. That's who they grew up watching. Like all the stuff that we saw on social media yesterday and today and what we'll continue to see like the rest of the year, pretty much, I'm sure, is just how he influenced a generation of basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Everyone tried to be like Kobe.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at that, like what he's doing, what he just did right there, the mid-range game. They were talking about it, how there's not going to be – I mean, I hope that comes back. I think we were looking at – I was looking on – I don't know if you put it on the story or – I know I commented on it about Giannis with his mid-range game. He doesn't even need a three-point shot. He needs a mid-range game.
Yeah,
he'll dominate.
Hell yeah.
He's dominating right now. He develops a mid-range, and he's going to be one of the best to ever play.
Develop a nice, consistent turnaround mid-range in the post or whatever.
And, I mean, his shooting has improved, too.
Oh, yeah. And he's so lengthy, man. Like, rarely anyone can block him.
No, you know? Nobody can block him.
Exactly. His shot is so high. And if he's able to go ahead and develop that turnaround jumper like Kobe, oh my gosh, man!
Yeah, but he's from the shooting guard. I mean, the shooting guard profession is it's still around, but it's obviously guys are just mainly taking threes now, and that's it. There's not really they're not backing in and fading away and doing all that. But
the player that looks most like Kobe Bryant nowadays is, y'all know who, Kawhi Leonard, man.
Yeah.
He's worked with Kobe, I think, multiple times there. And what Kawhi is able to do in the post, it's like, it's a lot of Kobe, man.
Yeah.
You know, his turnaround may not look as smooth, but he can make them. And he does have a killer mid-range, though, in Kawhi. So we're definitely going to be seeing years and years of Kobe influence on each and every player. And just because Kobe was one of those generational players. It's just really hard to go ahead and sum up his whole career within a short span of time. And that's what I'm actually, like, really looking forward to, like, some kind of documentary displaying everyone that he's touched, you know, everyone that has interviewed him, everyone that has seen his growth. Because in a span of 24 hours, to see the flow of support and just love that he has received just around the league, you know, it's like some of these players, people, they have never met Kobe, but hearing that Kobe is gone, they shed a tear. A lot of the players, I'm sure you guys have seen reactions as well. One of my favorite was, I was telling you guys earlier, one of my favorite was Spencer Dinwiddie's. So Spencer Dinwiddie, he's been passed around probably four or five teams. And Miami Heat being one of them.
Wasn't the Bulls one of them too?
He was drafted by the Bulls.
Disgraced.
Exactly. And he's been thrown around the league for so long. And then a couple years ago, he had a breakout season. And he was, I wouldn't say borderline all-star, but he was playing like one. And Spencer Dinwiddie, his post-game interview, he was saying, you know, once he heard the news that Kobe was gone, that the only validation that he needed was from Kobe. When Kobe told him that, you know, man, Spencer Dinwiddie, I believe that you're an all-star. And that's all that Spencer Dinwiddie had to hear. He had the validation. Although he didn't make it to the all-star, he made it under Kobe's eyes. And his reaction, his raw emotion and reaction was just truly beautiful. And could really emulate what a lot of other people and fans and players feel about Kobe as well. So and then kind of to finish up all of our thoughts, well, we know Kobe is like we've mentioned, a basketball player, a student of the game, a father to life, a husband to a loving wife, and everything, and a son, and everything that he's done. It's amazing. And what I want to close my statement out on is Kobe Bean Bryant, the number 8, number 24, forever will be remembered for what you have done for the league, for the people, for the fan, and for myself, and that extends beyond basketball, and that's what Kobe Bryant was beyond it.
Yeah, just Kobe, man. Thank you for all the memories and all the childhood memories, and even though you're gone, you're still here, man. Gonna miss you, but your legacy's gonna live on, and We're always gonna remember you. Touched a lot of people. Gonna miss you.
Kobe, we love you.
Kobe Bean Bryant, Lower Marion High School, came straight from high school. He was 17 years old when he came into the league. It was just a kid, you know, and they were talking about this story about how they weren't able to bring in beers into the locker room because of Kobe, and he was being picked on because of the damn reason. And it must have been tough. But before I end this episode, I just kind of want to talk about his accomplishment in basketball. And I know he accomplished so much more with his family, having 4 beautiful daughters. And one, rest in peace, Gianna Bryant, who's a phenomenal basketball on her own right. But here is his accomplishment. 5-time NBA champion. 2-time NBA Finals MVP. 1-time NBA MVP. Regular season MVP. 18-time NBA All-Star. 11-time NBA first team defense. I'm sorry. 11-time first team NBA. Second team 2 times. Third team 2 times. 9 times he was in the first team all defensive team. 3 times he was in the second defensive team. And he's also won a dunk contest. And he played two players who played 20 years plus for one club, the other one being Dirk Nowitzki. 4-time All-Star MVP. And lastly, he survived by 3 daughters and 1 wife. Rest in peace, legend. And his legend may never die.
Legacy. Mamba.
Words. I mean, he's amazing. Pass me the damn ball. I don't need to pick it up. And I'm